Welcome back to Crime Talk, where we talk about crime.
That was so awkward.
Okay, today we're going to be talking about the Powell family, and it's kind of like a heavy case, so just a heads up, viewer discretion advised. But, let's just get into it. So this takes place in Oregon, Washington, and West Valley City, Utah. And so just a little background on our main people. So Josh's background, his mom and dad got divorced 20 years into their marriage, and the separation was super hard for everybody who was involved. Steve Powell, who's Josh's dad, often harshly disciplined them. And a direct quote from Terry, Josh's mom, Steve, quote, pointedly attacked Josh as a teenager, end quote.
Wow.
Yeah. And it is also reported that Josh allegedly tried to hang himself and attacked his mother with a butcher knife while he was also a teenager. So we're off to a really good start. Yeah.
Going places.
Yeah, oh man. Like prison maybe?
Yeah.
No, we'll get into that, don't worry. Okay, and now we're introducing Susan into the plot. Susan and Josh met in 2000, and Josh used to hold parties at his house for people his age, or in his ward at church, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, or just people that went to college with him. And that's basically just how they met. They hit it off really well and started dating. And Susan's sister, Denise, reported that when they first started going out, they seemed, like, really happy and coupley and holding hands, hugging, PDA, all that.
All that. Fucked up.
Oh, yeah. And then after only 2 to 3 months of them dating, they were engaged.
That. Way
too fast. That's so fast.
Way too fast.
I don't know. That's just, there's lots of red flags. And
I don't know if I could do that.
I don't think I could. Like,
you don't even know the person.
Yeah, that's so weird. That's so weird. I don't know. You do you.
Boo.
Let's see. Oh, he proposed with a ring that he bought with Susan's money, and he just promised to pay her back. I think he did pay her back, but that's still, like,
why would
for
you
real.
Ask for money?
Yeah, like, imagine seeing, like, an account charge, like, at, like, a jewelry store, being like, what's this?
Yeah.
And that's
like,
so awkward.
Excuse me, what?
That's bad, but,
my God.
Yeah. Within 6 months of them dating, they were married. That's literally so crazy to think of.
You don't even know
yeah,
that person.
Yeah, like, people date longer than 6 months to be engaged. But married? That's weird. That's so uncomfortable.
A little too fast.
Yeah. This, surprisingly, concerned Susan's family. Her dad, Chuck, especially, but he figured Josh seemed to be doing well enough on his own, and he had an apartment, so it worked out, and they were married in the Portland, Oregon Temple in 2001. So Josh and Susan ended up moving in with Josh's dad, Steve, in an effort to save some money. However, it was really cramped, and they ended up having to hang up blankets in the living room as dividers to give Susan and Josh their own room, which is just, like, so awkward. Like, give the newlyweds a room or something. I don't know. That's just an uncomfortable situation for everyone.
Yeah, like living with your
with
in-laws.
Yeah. Without
especially,
any privacy. That's just so weird.
And he's not married or anything.
And they've barely known each other. So this is like, that's so weird.
They're still in, like, beginning to know.
Yeah. Weird. Weird stuff. Steve. So, Josh's dad was constantly recording everything with a camcorder, and his focus was mostly on Susan. He was really creepy and would keep all of her, like, used hygiene products, like shampoo bottles and hairbrushes. Which is, like, so weird! And later on, people would find in his journal that he, like, he knew that what he was doing and obsessing over was wrong, but he just, like, did it anyways. Like, he was fine with it.
He was, like, couldn't control it.
Yeah. Which is so, I don't know, weird stuff. So Josh and Susan decided to move out of state after Josh graduated from college, and while they were packing up everything, Steve decided to confess his feelings for Susan. This was in July 2003. Before he confessed this to Susan, he had been videotaping Josh drive, like, this tractor trailer U-Haul thing, and he forgot to turn off the camera, so little did he know he was recording that whole conversation. Just with, like, a black screen. And you can find this recording online, but a direct quote from this recording is, quote, "Well, Susan, I've had some really nice experiences with you, and I tell you what, it's just as I said, I kind of, you know, just having you go away is really, really hard for me, because it just seems like, anyway, I'm probably wrong, but I've really fallen in love with you." And he told her, "For the last year and a half, you're the only thing I can think about."
Oh, like, you're the man you married.
Dad
is saying this to you. Like, you're like,
Susan was 21 and Steve was 53.
So, oh, I just, like, got chills.
Yeah, not to mention married to his son. Just a minor detail.
That's just freaky.
Yeah, it's so weird. And then Susan ended up telling Josh about this encounter, and he, like, brushed it off like it was no big deal.
He didn't even...
He was like, yeah, my dad likes you. Cool. Like, that's so messed up. Anyways.
Most men would be like, fight me!
Yeah, like, come on, Dad. But, Susan and Josh left Washington on Christmas Eve 2003 and stayed at her sister Denise's house in Utah. Denise immediately noticed something was off, and it was, like, really concerning to her, but she just didn't, like, butt in or anything and didn't say anything because she just didn't feel like it was her place, which I feel like that makes sense, but I feel like the way things turned out is really sad.
Also in that situation, you're like, what am I supposed to
do? For sure. And I feel like you wouldn't really know who to tell either. Yeah. But in 2005 they had a son named Charlie, and in 2007 they had a son named Braden. Shortly after the sons were born, Josh and Susan's marriage just started to crumble a little bit. They got a house in West Valley, and everything was pretty much going fine. Susan had a steady job as a broker for Wells Fargo. However, Josh struggled to hold a steady job, and they were $200,000 in debt. I don't know if that's from, like, student loans, or, like, Josh is, like, a really bad spender. I feel like the fact that he used his girlfriend's money to propose, like, to buy a ring.
Yeah.
It's kind of telling, like, that tells you all you need to know about Josh.
Yeah.
Kind of weird, but, it reported that he stopped going to church and became increasingly controlling of Susan, and in 2008, Susan recorded a video of her saying, quote, "If something happens to me or my family or all of us, that our assets are documented," end quote, and a handwritten will from the same time period says, quote, "If I die, it may not be an accident, even if it looks like one," end quote. And, like, this obviously...
How does no one, like, get involved?
Like, how does somebody sit back and watch, like, your dear family member?
Like, did they just not know?
Like, someone had to know. Like, Denise kind of caught on, but I don't know why she didn't speak up or anything.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Like, I'm just telling you, my family, all the women in my family are, like, so independent and, like, loud. So, like, it would have been bad.
And I feel like just women are, like, so close-knit in families. Like,
yeah.
I just don't know how she wouldn't have said anything or, like, complained at least a little bit about Josh being, like, so controlling or not having a job or buying the ring with her money. I don't know.
Yeah, it's just weird all around.
Yeah, it's so weird. I don't understand.
Yeah. Look for red flags.
Yep, look for those. On to December 6th, Susan took her two sons to church, and she said she was feeling ill. Susan was running really, like, behind and late that morning before church, just trying to get ready. So Josh, who did not do this regularly, made pancakes for the family, and it was after she ate Josh's pancakes that she began to feel ill.
Surprise, surprise!
I think not. And here's where things just start to really go downhill.
Oh, like, I literally get chills every time.
Oh, man, I'm like, I need to prepare myself. The following morning, the Powell family was reported missing when the two boys were not dropped off for daycare and when Susan didn't show up for work. Josh returned later that afternoon with the boys, saying they decided to go on a camping trip. Keep in mind, it was December 7th, and no one takes their little children, who would have been like 4, 5, 6, 7, somewhere in that area. No one takes their little children on a camping trip in the middle of the night in below freezing temperatures Like, in the middle of a snowstorm? That doesn't...
And, like, they didn't have it planned.
Yeah, like, nobody just throws in a couple sleeping bags into the trunk and is like, let's go up to the mountains. I don't...
Apparently Josh.
Josh is one weird
guy.
Yeah. Reportedly, Josh called and left Susan two voicemails that day, though it was later discovered that her phone was still in his car that he had taken camping. Shady. This is all so shady.
It's like, but like, why does he have her phone in the first place?
Yeah. So, the very next day, December 8th, the police seized the family's van and discovered that 807 miles had been put on it during the night. Which is...
Like, that's...
Like, the circumstantial evidence... is just...
Crazy.
Sorry, we had a little visitor. Yeah, the circumstantial evidence is, like, ridiculous. It's overwhelming. I don't know.
Yeah, and it's like... I don't know, her phone, and that many miles on a car.
And camping, I don't know.
To go camping.
I don't know.
Like you would have had to driven the whole night to get where you're gonna go.
Yeah, you would have had to have, like, some kind of plan. Because nobody just, I don't know. he had also purchased a brand new cell phone, which was activated 80 miles north of Salt Lake. That's kind of also really shady, too. But I don't know if they ever got a hold of that phone. People still couldn't find Susan, but Josh was the police's number one person of interest. Shortly after all of this happened, and Susan still hadn't returned, so nobody knows where Susan is, but Josh and the boys ended up moving back to Washington with Josh's dad, and KSL reported that Josh had said to, like, a coworker or like, something, or just a good friend at a Christmas party, he said, quote, "To get away with murder, he would hide a body in a mine shaft in the West Desert of Utah," and
like, who even thinks that?
He is literally waving this red flag around, like, sticking it to his forehead.
Yeah,
like, sewing his clothes out of these red flags.
But it's like...
They might as well name their firstborn Red Flag.
Yeah.
Red Flag Powell. I don't get it. That's just so suspicious.
Yeah.
Like, that coworker was probably like, yeah.
Merry that coworker
Christmas.
Was probably like, run.
Like,
I'm
how
gonna
much
die.
Does that? Like, in what context would that even come up in a conversation?
It doesn't.
Who even probably just walked
that
up to
far
them.
Into like.
He probably just walked up to them and was like, "Hey, if you want to get away with murder." Oh my gosh. Anyways, let's move on. In 2011, Steve Powell, Josh's dad, was charged in an unrelated case with 14 counts of voyeurism and 1 count of possessing an image of minors engaged in sexually explicit conduct. I feel like we all saw that coming. As horrible as that is,
yeah.
Steve is one.
He's just another chapter.
He's just, yeah, we could do a whole podcast on this man, but we're not going to. He doesn't deserve that. But shortly after his father's arrest, Josh lost custody of the boys. I'm not sure if that was, like, related to his dad's case or if it was, like, complications with his own, but Josh was still allowed visitation rights, like weekends, stuff like that.
Well, this is when it gets bad again. Or...
Yeah. Okay. So, on February 5th, 2012, a social worker was taking the boys to his father's property for a weekend visit. The social worker reported smelling gasoline, and the boys had run ahead and made it to the door before the social worker could. So Josh let the boys in and then quickly locked the door, and, like, the social worker was, like, pounding on the door and trying to get in. And she just, like, knew something was wrong. I had, like, that gut feeling. So, and especially since she could smell, like, gasoline, I feel like that's not, like, a super normal thing.
No.
Like, maybe if you had, like, a... No, I don't even think generators take gasoline. Maybe some do, but... Yeah, that's just, like, a really out-of-place thing. But, yeah, so she called 911, and ABC reported that he sent his attorney an email that said, quote, "I'm sorry, goodbye," end quote. And moments after this email was sent, the house exploded, and with Josh and his two boys inside.
Oh! Like, how could, like, how, like, just, like...
Yeah, even, like, the anticipation of knowing that you're about to get blown to bits, and blowing your own children to bits, that's, like, That's just horrendous.
Just proves that he could have killed Susan. Like who easily kills their own kids?
Easily. Like, I don't, it's ridiculous. I don't understand. When authorities looked into this horrific incident, they discovered Josh had been planning this murder-suicide for days. Like, I don't know if they just, like, found... He probably videotaped it, because he used to do, like, all sorts of, like, audio tapes and stuff, just, like, updating, kind of like how he had, like, a journal. But imagine how chilling it would be to hear him saying that. Like, oh, that's just awful. An autopsy on the two little boys showed that Josh had struck both boys in the head with a hatchet before igniting a can of gasoline, which resulted in the explosion and his house burning to the ground.
Like, I just don't even know. Like, why would you not just let the kids live and have them have a better life?
Yeah, like, it's just ridiculous. He had no reason. Even if, like, the kids had known something about... That's about the only reason I can think, except for if Josh was, like, off the rails mental, which he very well could have been.
Yeah.
But maybe, like, the kids saw something. They probably did if they all
if they were camping. What are you, like...
Why did he take the boys? Like,
well, and when I was listening to the podcast, I remember them saying, like, they had taken the kids and they were talking to the kids in a different room, and they were like, and then one of the boys said, like, my mom's with the crystals. And they didn't know what that meant.
Mineshaft.
Yeah.
Hello? Oh my goodness.
And it's like, how much did they see? Like, were they mentally, crazy? Because they thought, oh, this is normal, this is okay.
Maybe Josh had just been, like, so abusive to her that they didn't even think twice about it.
Maybe.
That's so sad. Josh was 36 at the time of his death, and Josh was never directly connected to his wife's disappearance by authorities, but he's just such a scumbag. I honestly don't think any of us could put it past him. Like, he's just awful.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just... How do you feel about the overall?
Oh, I don't... It gives me chills, and it freaks me out to this day, because I'm like... I'm gonna be super cautious about who I marry because it's like,
yeah, just don't.
You never know people. Like, even Ted Bundy, like, had a girlfriend.
Yeah,
and she didn't even know
the whole time. Like, it's like, insane.
How? It's just freaky.
Yeah, like, you never know what you're getting yourself into. So just
be careful.
Trust your gut.
Pay attention to red flags.
Yeah,
because like, if he buys an engagement ring with your card.
Or if he's wearing a red flag as a cape, maybe. Then watch out.
Walking around a little bit on.
Waving it around the air. Crazy.
Yeah, and if your parents tell you, this doesn't seem right.
Yeah, then
what is
this? Oh, boy. Anyways, that's about it. credits for the information and quotes go to crimenews.com, ABC News, KSL News, Time.com, and if you're interested in learning more about this case or hearing the recordings from Steve, Josh, and Susan, listen to the Cold podcast, that's spelled C-O-L-D, and its timeline is extremely accurate and is super well done. Thank you for listening in.
Bye-bye.
Great big shout out to my friend Caitlin J for coming over and recording this episode with me. It means a lot. Thanks for listening.